Hello and welcome to this service of the Word coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this, the second Sunday after Trinity. The Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've come together today in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus said, "Before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled as brothers and sisters in God's family." We come together to ask our Father for forgiveness. So together we pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we've left undone. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse you from your sins and restore you in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The Collect, that special prayer for the second Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, who never failest to keep and help and govern them who you've brought up in your steadfast fear and love, keep us, we beseech thee, under the protection of thy good providence, and make us to have a perpetual fear and love of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm for today is very, very short. It's a song of praise, great praise, and it's psalm number 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. Our first reading is from Exodus. It's about really the calling of the Israelites to be priests. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This is the word of God. Now, hear the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick and raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely have you received. Freely give. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm struggling a bit to keep up with sermons and all the other things that I'm doing to do with the church. I give my thanks to a website called Interrupt in Silence and a priest called Michael Marsh, because I borrowed his sermon. There's a lot of pain in the world today, but you don't need me to tell you that. It's an everyday reality. Physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, and the systematic pain of violence, injustice, poverty, racism, to mention just a few. We read about it in the news, we see it in the tears of others, and we hear it in their voices. And I suppose every one of us could tell a story about pain we've had to live through and pain that we're living through today, whether it's our own loved ones or strangers. In last week's gospel, Jesus came across the pain of a father whose little girl had died and a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And before that, he touched the pain of a leper, a woman's fever, a man's paralysed legs, a man's heart and mind possessed by demons, and another father whose child had died. And in today's gospel, Jesus continues that work. He's going about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. Behind each of these actions is some kind of pain. That pain, Jesus says, is like a harvest waiting for labourers to show up. But the labourers are few. When it comes to pain, there always seems to be more harvest than labourers. What do we do with the pain of the world? For those of us in church, prayer is often our first response to pain, isn't it? Think about your own prayer requests when somebody's asked you to pray for her or him, or what we hear each week in the prayers of the people in our church intercessions. It's often a list of where it hurts. We pray for some kind of relief for ourselves, for others and the world. So it's not really surprising that Jesus tells his disciples, go and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. And I must admit that when I read the gospel prior to putting this service together, I read that sentence and I thought, why would Jesus go and tell his disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest? But having thought about it, he's telling them to pray that somebody will enter the fields of pain and do something to provide relief, heal and fix things. That's what he's asking. Go out and do it. Here's what strikes me about what Jesus does next. He barely gives the disciples, and don't we all claim to be his disciples, he barely gives them enough time to pray and say amen before he calls them together and sends them out with authority to be someone's labourer who respond to the pain to offer relief, to heal the brokenness and make a difference. He's making his disciples a part of the answer to the prayer they've just offered. He's telling his disciples to align their lives with their prayer, put their money where their mouth is. If we're going to pray for the pain and needs of others in the world, then we also need to give our hands and feet to our prayers. We need to embody and enact our prayer. We too must be a part of the answer to our own prayer. Jesus has shown us the due alignment of his life and is calling us to that same alignment in our own lives. That means facing and dealing with our pain and the pain of others. And that's not easy. Most of us, I suspect, don't want to do it. It's just too painful. And also, it takes a lot of time and effort. As we reflected last week in my sermon, it takes sacrifice on our part to do the he said, the Hebrew he said, that God requires us to show to others. He said being mercy, kindness, loyalty, goodness, and so on. So here's why I think that today's gospel really matters. I think we often misunderstand God's kingdom as an escape from the brokenness and pain of life. All we got to do is just unload our troubles to Jesus and leave it at that. Not our problem after that. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is a deeper engagement with and a response to the brokenness and pain. If the kingdom of heaven is to come, it will come through us and our response to the suffering and pain of the world, this village, and one another. So I think that's why when Jesus sent the disciples to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, he told them, as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom shows up when, with compassion, we feel and suffer with another's pain and reach out to offer relief, to heal and make a difference. Amen. One last note on the gospel. If you read the parallel gospel in Mark, when he's giving them a list of things not to take, don't take a belt, don't take sandals, don't take food, he says in Mark, you can take a staff. But when you read Matthew, it says, don't take a staff. I've never noticed that before. It makes no difference whatsoever, but it's amazing, isn't it? You can read things time and time again and not notice these things. There we go. Let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. And that the answer to this is, I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? I believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Now, our prayers. Holy God, St. Matthew reminds us of the privilege of suffering for Christ. We know that to share the work of Christ, we have to share the sacrifice of Christ. Please help us when Christianity is hard, and teach us to say to ourselves that when we suffer, we are merely following in the footsteps of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, look down with love upon our church here in the benefice, as day by day we struggle to be a body worthy of Jesus' name. We pray especially for the Christian churches who face daily persecution around the world. Strengthen, comfort, and encourage all those who suffer harassment, violence, imprisonment, and even death for being followers of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we live in a world which is becoming more secular and less religious every day. Help us as Christians to stand up for Jesus against world opinion in the sure knowledge that he stands up for us before you, our Father in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, at times your Son offers us hard choices to choose sometimes between the closest ties of earth and loyalty to him. Free us from making decisions that are for our comfort or for the approval of others. Help us to understand that good choices don't always lead to the easiest outcomes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for the sick and for the suffering, for those undergoing treatments and surgery, for those convalescing and those who are recovered. And we pray for those who are terminally ill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have freed us from the grip of the tomb. We pray for those who have departed this life and ask you, through your loving kindness, to have mercy on their souls and uphold and sustain those bereaved by their passing. We pray especially for those who have lost loved ones in the last week in our benefice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, in the week that lies before us, may we reflect your love in our families, our church, and our community, and in doing so, show everyone we meet that we are followers of Christ, with the true desire to draw them into our Christian faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of our Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so as we go out into the world, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessing, honour and glory be yours here and everywhere, now and for ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Just before I go, a reminder that next week, although I'm not doing the recorded service, I'm doing a service in the church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the Songs of Praise, where we will hear our new organ being played and we'll be able to choose what hymns we want. And also we're celebrating Tyndale at the same time. So that's 3 o'clock. And the best part of it, of course, is that afterwards there will be jam and cream scones and tea. So 3 o'clock on Sunday, this next Sunday coming, the 21st. Have a lovely week. Bye.